Is that on? Oh, there it is. Okay, good. Okay, I'll go ahead and start. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, July 8th, 2026, called to order at 12:02 p.m. And we could have roll call now, please.
Okay. Alice Sadongi?
Here.
Andrew Christopher?
Here.
Blake Houghton?
Here.
Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Courtney Marks?
Here.
Gary Miner?
Here.
Helen Erickson?
Here.
J.J. Lamb?
Here.
Jessica Bassey?
Here.
Kathy Kubish?
Here.
Ken Scoville?
Ken, you're on mute. Are you here?
Yes, I am. My mute wouldn't
go. I see him.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Mauro Trejo?
I don't see Mauro, but he said he would be here, so I don't know.
Oh, he just got on.
He just got on?
Oh,
just got on? Okay, did Mauro get on? Mauro get on? No?
I see him on. Hi, Mauro. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I was having trouble before. I just fixed it.
Okay, perfect.
Right.
Thank you. Okay, Rhonda Kendrick?
Rhonda's traveling today and can't make it.
Got it. Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Terry Majewski?
Here.
And Tim Haggard?
Here.
Yep, I have 15.
Great, perfect. All right, thank you. Let us go ahead with item two, which is the land acknowledgement. Commissioner Lozano.
All right. On behalf of the residents of the City of Tucson, the City of South Tucson, and Pima County, we honor the tribal nations who have served as caretakers of this land from time immemorial, and respectfully acknowledge the ancestral homelands of the Tohono O'odham Nation and the multi-millennial presence of the Pascua-Yaqui tribe within Pima County. Consistent with the TPCHC's commitment to diversity and inclusion, we strive toward building equal partner relationships with Arizona's tribal nations.
All right, thank you. Item three is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 6/10/2026. Could I have a motion to approve as submitted, please?
This is Courtney. I motion.
Thank you. Who will second?
This is
Ken. I'll second.
Terry.
Okay, thanks. We got Ken. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Do we have any discussion on those minutes? Okay, if not, well, let's go ahead with roll call, please.
Okay. Alice Sadongi?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye. Aye.
Jessica Bassey?
Aye.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Mauro Trejo?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 15-0.
Thank you very much. Item 4 is chairperson summary of current events. And I don't have anything off the top of my head right now, so no report. Item 5 is recently posted subcommittee legal action reports and minutes. As they come in, they are posted at the link listed there. If you ever have any questions about being able to access those, let me know and I can help you, or I'm sure Tracy can as well. All right, item 6 is removal appointments to commission subcommittees, working groups, etc. I have none at this time. Okay, item 7 is reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff. 7A is City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office. Looks like we have Desiree here and Jonathan.
Yes. Hello, thank you, Chair Majewski. Good afternoon, everyone. A couple staffing kind of announcements or just updates. We are conducting interviews for the Historic Preservation Lead Planner in a couple of weeks, so hopefully we'll have some good updates in the coming months. We also have a Historic Preservation intern starting with us at the end of July, so hopefully you'll be able to meet her at the August Commission meeting. And then later in the meeting, you'll hear from our spring intern, Ricky Riojas, who many of you know. She was the former commissioner here, and she's in graduate school, and we were lucky to have her work on her graduate capstone project focused on the City of Tucson's practices related to the management and stewardship of city-owned historic resources. So stay tuned. You'll hear her presentation later in the meeting. The City of Tucson currently is accepting applications for the Thrive Storefront Renovation Program that provides funding to support facade improvements and commercial property enhancements within the Thrive and the O5 area. And this includes the historic Miracle Mile. And there is a total of $550,000 of grant funding available. $50,000 of that is set aside specifically for facade improvements or sign restoration projects for contributing historic properties in the Miracle Mile Historic District. So we're trying to spread the word out. The application is due in August. So just if you know anyone or can help spread the word, please do. If you have questions or want, you know, links or applications, any materials like that, feel free to email me, desiree.aranda@tucsonaz.gov. And then I wanted to mention, you might have seen it in news or in the city announcements, but the City of Tucson received an AARP Community Challenge grant to launch a middle housing design competition in partnership with the American Institute of Architects, Southern Arizona chapter. So we've talked about middle housing. We talked about it at the last commission meeting, but just as a refresher, middle housing refers to smaller scale residential building types, which includes duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, townhomes, and cottage courts. And so this competition, similar to the ADU model plan and a design competition that the city did a few years ago, submissions, the winning submissions will ultimately hold a spot on the city's model plan library. And the idea is to make this more accessible, these types of project more accessible and promote good design. So we've seen that, you know, the ADU model plans be used in historic districts. It still has to go through the normal historic review process. So it still goes to, you know, if it's in an AHPZ, still goes through the advisory board, still goes to PRS. It's essentially just they have more of a starting point. So this year's competition will include a category for historic and context specific or sensitive proposals. So the idea is we're trying to be proactive here and encourage submissions that are sensitive to historic or historical context areas. So that could be, you know, HPZs, but also National Register districts. And the panel of judges will be including several experts or subject matter experts in historic preservation. So I wanted to give you a heads up on that. There is an info session happening tomorrow, Thursday 9th at 11 a.m. And to learn more, you can visit middlehousing.tucsonaz.gov. You can also reach out to me, and I can put you in touch with the planner who's overseeing that design competition. So I want to hand it over to Johnny, and then maybe we can do questions after he's done.
That sounds good. Let's do that.
I think kind of two things. One is that the programmatic agreement between City of Tucson and the State Historic Preservation Office is one step closer to getting signed, and the City of Tucson will need to execute it before it gets executed by the State Historic Preservation Office. And so we're working to basically coordinate to make sure that the right people see it and review it, kind of thing. So hopefully that's sooner rather than later, because it would, again, really just help out our workflow. And then secondly, today is July 8th, and 30 days ago, Federal Highways with ADOT sent out the tier one reevaluation for the proposed I-11, and so the City of Tucson has a letter that will be going out today, and our comments are related to the cultural landscape of Ebro Valley. It's also related to making sure that the biases in the two different corridors are noted, and the corridors, because the West Corridor, there hasn't been as many undertakings, and so we want to make sure that there's not an equivalency that is due to biases in the data. So I'll Carlos and Ken.
Yeah, I think Ken was first, and then Carlos, and then Kathy Kubisch.
Hi, Jonathan. My question's really to Desiree. On this grant money for Miracle Mile, I'm thinking particularly there are two properties that their signs have sort of vanished. I think they had repair from when they had the storm. I think one's La Siesta, and the other one is farther up on Stone, south of Speedway, and their sign was damaged also. Have they been notified of this?
We have not done specific owner outreach. It's been just more in the general area, but that is something I would like to do.
So I can contact you after the meeting and talk to you a little bit more about that.
That would be great. On that.
And has the Hacienda been contacted? Because they're right in the middle of trying to put their property back together about this grant.
Yes, the Hacienda is currently going through, they've been going through review. So we have a contact there. But some of the others, it just don't have established relationships with. So I was actually thinking we have a flyer and we might just do some in-person visits or, mail, try to do a mailing.
How did this grant money become available? I'm just amazed.
So this was kind of a mitigation out of a Section 106 review for the Milagro and Oracle project. So it was related to that mitigation.
Okay. Mitigation or reparations, but anyway.
Yeah. Okay, Ken. Carlos?
Amplifying what Ken said. So there would be a mailer or something to every historic business in the Miracle Mile area, or how do you think that would work, Desiree?
Yes. So we would be two contributing properties. We would limit it to, you know, to those that are eligible. But hopefully we can get a mailer out.
That would be great.
Not, you know, actual visits in person.
Oh, that's so great, because the last time there was a facade improvement grant, it was one of those HUD grants, and they ended up with money left over. Nobody took them up on it, and a lot of the residents of that area or the business owners, they're really shy of doing anything that has to do with any form of the city. They just, you know, but if you could go in person, that would be great. Or not necessarily you, but yeah, people to explain what it's about, so that they don't leave any of that money, on the table. But, back over to Johnny, that tier one, letter, is that the same letter that we were talking about last month, that where they were, ADOT was, there was a question of the methodology?
That's correct. That's the same one that was brought up last month. And in that letter, there was no due date for it. But so I'm just kind of assuming that the 30 days. And so it today would be the 30 day mark.
Okay, because if Helen's here, she knows we were been trying to put together a meeting with the county to kind of look at their response as well. And then same thing with City of South Tucson. But could you forward me a copy of your letter, please?
I can do. Yeah.
Or to Terry, and then she'll. Yeah. Okay. I appreciate that, because I'm very curious of how you're approaching that. One other thing, back to Desiree. I know last month we were talking about the large scale data center code amendment in the way that water usage would affect the riparian areas as cultural landscapes in the City of Tucson and Pima County. And I know that the Planning Commission met, and they're going to forward that to mayor and council. But Desiree, do you know when that would happen? The reason I'm asking is because it's just not fair to Terry for us to put everything off till the very last minute and then have to get these letters out, you know, in a few hours. And do you have any inkling of when that would be on the mayor and council agenda?
I don't know currently, but I can find out and get back to you.
That would be great. And we need to follow up on that. And just as a follow-up, the plan, I couldn't attend the meeting, but I watched the video, and the Planning Commission, actually, sometimes if you guys don't know whether our letters get read, the Planning Commission actually cited our letter, and they didn't make any changes based on our recommendations, but mayor and council could do that. And also they did not make a unanimous recommendation to mayor and council. So what that means is they're just forwarding it, but they're not recommending it. If they don't have unanimity or near unanimity, it doesn't count as a recommendation. So we do have opportunity to still affect that ordinance. And so that's my little mini report on that item from last month. And thanks, you guys. That's all I had. I'll put my hand
down. Great. Thank you. Kathy, you're next.
Okay, this is a question for Johnny. Last month, you mentioned an affordable housing project going up on the southwest corner of Speedway and Stone. And, of course, this is the Court Street Cemetery site. So I just wondered if you could give me an idea of the archaeology that was going to be involved here and why this was a suitable site for affordable housing.
Okay, so I can definitely answer the first part. And the first part is the project team is well aware of the archaeological sensitivity and the archaeological concerns within that. And just to kind of summarize, the Court Street Cemetery was the City of Tucson's cemetery from the late 1800s to around 1909. And then after the cemetery closed, there was notices in newspaper saying, everyone, please move your ancestors to Evergreen and Holy Hope. And it was clear like that, you know, and then those lots were basically subdivided and sold. And by the 1950s, people are digging water lines or a mailbox, and they encounter ancestors. And so clearly not every interment was moved. And so, right now, that parcel, with the proposed, project, around, I would say approximately 30% of it has already been, archaeologically cleared. It was, in around 2010, by desert archaeology through, archaeological stripping and, stripping to identify, mortuary features. And then, move them in a respectful way. And so that leaves a lot of it that, has not been, you know, subject to archaeological investigations. And so the project team is well aware of these concerns, and they do have a very qualified archaeological contractor, that they're working with. And, they understand that, you know, ground disturbance and that like development cannot happen until, archaeologists, have kind of cleared the parcel.
Okay. Oh, is that the answer to your question, Kathy? You okay with that? Yes. You're on mute. Kathy, you're on mute.
Yeah, I did have a conversation with Homer Thiel about this, and I'm just interested in all the vacant land that I see around Tucson, all the potential sites for affordable housing, and, you know, to pick this one, I understand that it's central, it's on a bus line, but I just thought it was an odd choice.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would recommend that if you would like to, you know, talk to our housing folks, you can go to elpueblohousing.org, and there's an about and contact, and you can reach out to them there. And you can also subscribe to updates regarding the various housing projects that our housing team is doing.
Okay, well, thank you.
I will.
Ken, I think JJ had her hand up and then she put it down. Go ahead.
I'm just having trouble with that.
We only have a few minutes for the county to give their report before Courtney has to leave.
Okay. Well, okay, so here's my question. Commissioner Kubish saw that there was a demolition permit pulled on, I think, July 6th for the Hacienda Hotel. Desiree, do you know?
Yes. So there is ongoing, there are several applications in for the Hacienda Hotel project. There was a demolition permit approved for one of the buildings that was fire damaged. This project did go through a courtesy review with PRS. It's not subject to, formal historic preservation review because it's not going through that. It's in that IID, but it's not accessing that or utilizing that optional overlay. So there's no, there is no additional regulatory requirements for them to not have that demolition approval. We have been in communication with the State Office of Historic Preservation about trying to ensure that their historic status is maintained. So the proposed replacement was deemed, you know, they found that that was acceptable. Our office has found that it's acceptable. PRS have provided comments on that. So
okay.
I'm not worried about that in terms of, you know, that being the something that would be
okay.
listed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Ken, do you have a brief question?
Yes, just real quick for Jonathan. That corner at Speedway and Stone, there was a building on it one time. Were you referencing the 30%? Or was that the footprint of the building? It seemed like there was a bank building there.
Yeah, there was a bank building. And the 2010 investigation was done after that bank building was demolished.
Okay.
And it's important, you know, like, you know, that like sometimes, you know, the depths of the Court Street Cemetery were deeper than the foundations of the buildings that came after that. So
okay, I was just checking on if you were aware of that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you both for your reports. Are you good for us to move on?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Item 7B is Pima County Cultural Resources and Historic Preservation Office. Ian's not here today. Courtney, do you have just a minute or two to say what you have to say?
Oh, yes. Thank you very much, Chair Majewski. Good afternoon. I have a brief update for you. And as we were discussing I-11, I realized that I don't have an official update. I wasn't sure if Commissioner Lozano had questions for the county on I-11 specifically. Ian Milliken did send a letter to the Federal Highway Administration on continuing Section 106 consultation and adverse effect and the EIS reevaluation. And Ian Milliken and Jenny Neely, the environmental analyst for our cultural resources group, have been working on that. So if you want to reach out to them specifically next week, that would probably be the best thing to do, and I can send them an email also if there are questions. Since I have a brief update, I thought I would focus a little bit on our preservation program, and Charlotte Hart is with me today. And the preservation program, as you probably know, it refers to cultural resources, but really are great stewardship responsibilities for managing 250,000 acres of land, 100,000 of which are county-owned properties in which we are stewards of the land. We are working on setting our long-term goals, which Charlotte and I are working on for this fiscal year, which just started July 1st. And we have come up with some aspects of those goals that we can accomplish over this next year. So the plan is I'm expecting to work on several projects with Charlotte, and some of them include deconstruction. So right now we're in the research phase. I will be drafting a guidance document for review that I would like to, of course, bring to the commission when ready and once I've finished research on this topic. And this would apply to the management of buildings on conservation lands, county conservation lands. We will also be strengthening our interpretive and management of the conservation lands, including tribal engagement, and we'll be focusing specifically in this next in this fiscal year on the Cienega Creek Natural Preserve and Emperita Ranch. And Charlotte and I will be conducting and completing a signed inventory of cultural resources and natural resources signs throughout the county. We need to find out what is actually out there and what needs to be assessed for updating, especially concerning language might need to be updated, place names and those sorts of things. And we'll be reviewing easements and other properties for greater involvement with the site steward program and see if there are certain properties that could use more monitoring. And yeah, we have several other projects that are underway. And if Charlotte would like to add anything, this would probably be the time. But we would like to bring an update formally on the preservation program, maybe a presentation in the next few months to the commission meeting.
Okay, and great. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
And what I'll do is respond. If you want to do it next month, you know, give me an idea early and I'll be sure that we, you know, get that on there.
Thank you.
Okay. Charlotte, did you have anything you want to share with us?
No, I think Courtney got it, you know, starting, we're just starting out. So, taking some manageable bites out of big goals.
Okay. Thank you. Great. Let's move on to 7C then. City of South Tucson. Josue is not here, but Carlos, do you want to update on anything? Do you have anything?
Well, sure. Yeah. And I promise I won't get political, but just to let you guys know that City of South Tucson is has an election coming up for three council member seats are at stake on July 21st. And then the way it works is that this is a primary, but if they have nothing else to vote on in the general in November, then the primary is the election. And so that is the case. And then in November, they just swear in the candidates who won in July. And so, but that's, you know, and there's a bunch of things at stake. I mean, from our perspective, I mean, I can think of at least three or four, really historic buildings that are vacant and for sale. And, you know, the fate of those buildings, you know, depends upon, you know, the mayor and council have quite a bit to do with the disposition of those buildings, even though they don't own them. So I think a lot's at stake. Anyway, but that's all I had regarding South Tucson, unless Ricky has something else.
Ricky, do you have anything you want to share?
I should have known you were going to do that, Carlos.
We wrapped up the Latinos and Heritage Conservation Cultural Heritage Grant, which South Tucson was working on, well, like in terms of spending money. There is still some work going on to make sure that all of those oral histories that we gathered are available and out to the public on websites. The Los Descendientes de Tucson is housing those oral histories both in the Mexican American Museum as well as on our online portal, and then they're also being added to the Viva South Tucson website as well. So we will continue to work on those, and I think they were looking at even expanding the types of like historical plaques that are present within South Tucson so that people are more aware of the history down there.
Well, that's great. Thank you. Thank you both. Item 7D is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. I don't see Lydia Barker on. Did you have anything, Desiree, that you were going to report on for her?
No, I didn't get anything for her.
Okay. So. Yeah, she's been really good about it. I hope she's okay. But I'll double check with her maybe earlier next month. So. Okay, so let's move quickly through item 8 because we have a nice presentation coming up from Ricky and we need to get on that. 8A is Plans Review Subcommittee. Desiree?
Yeah, so tomorrow we have PRS. The historic landmark nomination for the Dante House was submitted by the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. So we'll be reviewing that tomorrow. On July 23rd, there is a courtesy review on the schedule for the Fox Theater expansion project. They're going to be bringing some more refined designs for the storefront that they're going to share with PRS. And let's see. I wanted to let you all know there were recent reviews of two different accessory buildings in Armory Park that are considered contributing buildings. They're both proposed for demolition. One is has actually already been demolished, and it's a new owner, and they're trying to get their permitting in order. And the other is the carport isn't in great shape. They're proposing to replace it with another accessory workshop. And so both Armory Park and PRS recommended approval, but because they are contributing buildings, they will need mayor and council approval to get demolished. So I wanted to let you know that that will likely be going to mayor council in August. I'm not sure which one of the meetings we're going to aim for August 5th, but those materials are always due like a month in advance. So we'll see. But that's, I think, quickly, I just wanted to briefly mention that because I want to get to Ricky's presentation.
Yeah, you have a question from Ken. Go ahead, Ken. Briefly,
hi,
please.
Desiree, real quick. Do you get the design plans ahead of time, and are we privy to look at it? Because I've been following the Fox Theater issue quite a lot, and that was the
yes.
point was how is this not going to interfere with the historic streetscape of the original Fox Theater?
Yes, so those we typically post everything on the PDSC website off the historic preservation page about a week before they go to PRS. So I'll keep an eye out on that page, and you can let me know if you need the link.
Okay, because I'm an old person, you can send me a reminder on that of when the plans review is going to be and when that's posted.
Yes.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Desiree. Thank you, Ken. Okay, let's move on to item 8B, Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Hager, do you have a report for us?
I do not. We didn't meet again this month. I'm going to check in and see what the future meetings are going to be looking like, but I don't have anything to report.
Okay, thank you. Item 8C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Erickson.
Hello. We met on the 24th and reviewed a couple of projects. One was Quiros Park Path, which we feel is an appropriate alteration of that park, and also approved the hydroseeding of native grasses at the historic Fort Lowell parade grounds. We have one question that we would like to bring to the commission as a whole. We developed a new approach to evaluating smaller elements or features of historic landscapes. And that procedure, we feel, is a good way to handle some of these things very quickly. Essentially, we have three people, one from City of Tucson, one from a Historic Preservation Advisory Board, and a member of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee. And the three of us met on May 18th to review tangential landscape to Armory Park. And I think everyone was very happy with that result. And so I guess my question for you, Terry, is if we continue to follow that procedure, is this something that we need to have passed by the commission as a whole, or are we free just to continue to use that procedure?
Well, I don't think the whole commission needs to vote on it. I think I probably need to talk to Carla and Tracy about if there needs to be anything formal, or maybe get an opinion from Desiree on that. It helps a lot, I think, move things along quickly without having to meet on them, you know. So Desiree, do you think there's any issue or we could meet on this at some point, maybe next week?
Yeah, I'm happy to meet with you, Terry, and Johnny, and, you know, Helen to talk about this, because there's review requirements, right, that are outlined in the UDC and in our AD. And then my worry is that we're kind of adding and creating review requirements that are not, there's no legal basis for them. And so we just need to kind of talk through that.
Okay. I think it's an important consideration because our goal here, and I'm sure Johnny can speak to that too, is expeditious review of situations. And the other thing is we are still advisory. We're not, we don't have that legal push that the Plans Review Subcommittee has, but we do recommend to Plans Review. So we're in kind of a semi-organized state.
I would appreciate if the county was also involved in the conversation because we are a joint commission. And so I just want to ensure how City of Tucson projects are being reviewed is this equivalent. So maybe we can kind of flesh that out more.
Okay. I think that's a good idea. Should we possibly add that to the, to a full historic landscapes agenda so that we can discuss it in that context, or should we just discuss offline?
I think we should discuss offline first before you present it to the group, you know, just okay. to get some feedback. I don't think it will be a quorum issue because I'm not a member of HLS. So you say maybe the week, next week or the following week. What do you think, Desiree?
Probably the following week. I'm going to be out next week.
Okay, so maybe you could email me and suggest some times, and then I could mesh them with my times. And then we're looking at having Helen. Courtney, do you want to be on? Courtney's probably off. I can reach out
Courtney
to her.
Courtney's jumped off, but Ian is back in the office. Ian is back in the office, let's see here, on the 16th. So the week after, like the week of the 20th, I'm sure you could find something with him.
Yeah, and I'll just copy everybody once you and I come up with some times and then include Helen and whoever we think, just so that we can talk about this because things are sort of expanding and we don't want to get sort of crosswise with the UDC, but provide an important function that possibly wasn't being done before to the extent it is now. So, okay. Is that good, Helen?
That sounds fine to me. I guess what I was just hoping is that we would figure out where we were going to go with this. Cause everybody who was involved was very happy with the outcome because I say it was expeditious. It involved just a few people and it had a good result. So.
Okay. All right. Anything else from you, Helen?
Nope. That's it. We will be meeting, by the way, next week, other than the following week, because Steve Grady and I are presenting at the NAPC conference in Minneapolis, and it's hard for us to be two places at once.
Okay, so you're meeting next week and you're going to get me stuff, or did I already get it? Did you already get it to me?
And you will get it on Friday.
Okay. And when is the meeting? Wednesday?
The meeting is on the, 15th at 10 a.m.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. But be sure to get that to me. I'll get it in. Okay. Item 8D is Transportation Subcommittee. Commissioner Lozano.
Thanks, Terry. I'll be brief. Just a few things. So, there was a sad demolition in the commercial corridor. This was on East Speedway. The Casa Molina restaurant was demolished. That was built in 1947. But they saved the bull, and I'm wondering, I believe that bull could be nominated as a heritage sign. It would need to go to mayor and council because it has no neon. It's not a customary sign, but that hasn't gone to PRS by any chance already, has it? Anybody?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
I can actually share a little bit about that. So,
great.
That's going through a rezoning process. And so one of the proposed, the department is proposing the condition, and the property owner is, on board with the idea of keeping that statue. So the statue would be required to be kept as part of a condition of the rezoning. So that's what we're currently looking at. But yeah, other than that, there's no other regulatory, you know, HPC or anything like that that would trigger historic review.
Great. Thanks, Desiree. You made my day. And let's see. And then I do want to comment one more time on TEP, give a final report on those big TEP polls. Remember I mentioned last month that the final appeal on the substation was denied or it didn't work. So those are going to happen. But the one thing I did want to mention is that other people have commented on is this sort of highlights the weakness of the university area plan, which should afford some additional protection to neighborhoods like Jefferson Park and Pye Allen and Feldman's and other National Historic Districts, but that might be something that those neighborhoods want to look at in the future because the UAP didn't do anything to protect them. The only other thing would be Rio Nuevo. I'm still have big concerns about all those board ups in the 1200 block, the 1300 block, 2200 block, 2300 block, almost entirely boarded up, and I'm not exactly sure what's going on. If any courtesy reviews have been done for that, you know, anybody could pipe up, or if anybody has any knowledge, especially, or also perhaps Commissioner Haggard, if Rio Nuevo has presented to DNARC, but you said you haven't met in a couple months. Commissioner Haggard, do you what time are your meetings on that first Monday?
They're at 5:30, and we haven't been meeting, so I'm going to see kind of where that is.
Okay. I was hoping maybe that you could invite Rio Nuevo to present, but I can't attend 5:30 on Mondays, and I can't attend the Rio Nuevo meetings, and so I'm stuck. But I have another contact. But has anyone else present heard anything about those, you know, five blocks that are looking pretty bad on Broadway right now? Okay, hearing nothing. That's it for my report then. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Carlos. Item 8E is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald.
Yeah, the Commission on Equitable Housing and Development canceled their meeting for July, so I have no report.
Okay, no meeting in July. Okay, item 8F is Budget Subcommittee. I just wanted to thank Carla Inclán, who was a tremendous help. We had like a six-week push to get items out for our agenda, our budget, remaining budget from the last fiscal year. And thanks also to budget subcommittee members, Commissioners Minor and Erickson. We met sometimes quickly, and there was a lot done. So when we have a little bit more time, I'll report more to you on everything that the minutes and LARs are all posted, so you can look and see what we approved, but a lot. So 8G is Outreach and Training. Commissioner Lamb.
Okay, well, we met earlier today, and I'll just report that Commissioner Trejo continues working on a realtor training. If you have a particular topic that you would like to see incorporated into this training, please send that to Chair Majewski to pass along to Commissioner Trejo. Our goal is to hold this training in October this year. Commissioner Kubisch is doing some great work researching demolition and circular economy resources available in Pima County. Her work will be an important resource as an educational tool and part of efforts really to strengthen awareness of demolition and circular economy resources locally. We would like to have her present her research at a commission meeting, at a future meeting, so maybe a few months from now. The Commission's National Alliance of Preservation Commission's membership has been renewed, and I really encourage commissioners, staff, and board members to take advantage of their online resources and webinars. Most of these are absolutely free to members. Each of you are an organizational member, so there'll be a place when you're registering, it'll ask what kind of a member are you, individual or organizational. We are all an organizational member. Now, if you are not receiving their online updates, please let me know so I can follow up with them. Sometimes, sometimes something goes wrong in how things are updated and somebody might get left out. So you don't want that to happen. And this work, subcommittee is also working on developing materials for public outreach. So we're really excited about that. I think that's going to be a really good thing. To help the broader community all over Pima County and Tucson, to understand what the commission does, what our purpose is, and all of that. And that's all.
Okay, thanks. JJ, I had an email from the lady at NAPC, and she was curious about receiving her check, even though I think a lot was going on when they're registering for some other thing. So I reminded her that it was for the renewal, and I need to update that list because we have some new members. So it's not just commissioners. It's advisory board members. Mm-hmm. It's also staff from the city and the county. And, so it's really a good thing to really get us all access to those resources. So thank you for all your subcommittees doing. Okay. Item 8H is events subcommittee. Just two things. I spoke with Amy Hartman at the Presidio this morning. We are going to have an August 20th event, but it's going to be much different than last year. And I guess, JJ, you've been working with them on getting people involved. So there's going to be, like, our event would be like 7 to 9. It would be more like a reception, inviting the same people with some tables. And then also, they now have a bar on site that's managed by someone else, and they're thinking of having a program with music, like after our event ends, or following from our event, and a taco bar or something like that. So just a heads up for event subcommittee members, we will be meeting the week after next, and we need to meet and get going on this, but. I thank you, JJ, for meeting with Amy and them. And so that's really good. So you'll be hearing from me if you're on that subcommittee so that we can, support them and do whatever. So that will be on the day of the actual, on August 20th. Also, there's soon I'll have more about the new time capsule event, which will be in the fall. And then item 8I is the Preservation Awards Subcommittee. We haven't met yet, but we will be an event that's part of the new time capsule event. So that's going to be likely in November. So we'll have to get moving on that. Fairly soon. You don't want to give people too much leeway because then they won't remember. 8J is TPCHC Historic Preservation Advisory Working Group, Commissioners Erickson and Lamb.
We have had a hiatus in meetings, but we are resuming our meeting schedule on July 17th. And you'll be receiving that agenda in the next couple of days. And then in the August month, we'll resume meeting at our regular time, which is the second Friday.
So what is the date in July?
17th.
Okay. And you'll get me those materials soon?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So let's move on to item 9, which is our graduate capstone project presentation by Ricky Riojas on evaluation of the City of Tucson's maintenance and management of city-owned properties. And we're going to share the screen with Ricky. let her finish her presentation before you ask questions, because we're kind of running late. So, you know, in all respect to her, we want to keep a quorum going so we can hear her report. We had just lots to talk about today.
Can everyone see my screen?
We can.
Okay, perfect. All right. So I start with a formal introduction. I know some of you know me, but maybe not everyone knows me. And my name is Ruth Riojas. I'm a current graduate student at CU Denver in Historic Preservation and Urban and Regional Planning. It's a dual master's program. And so as a result, I'm doing a dual master's capstone. So I approached the city of Tucson and Deseret and asked if I would be able to assist at all in the department. So my capstone is focused on the management and maintenance of city-owned properties. Really specific, it's focused on the built environment, just because this is a one-semester capstone. So I was a little bit limited. I was born and raised in Tucson. I didn't move until I came to go to grad school in Denver, and even then I still travel between Tucson and Denver. And so I'm very, very immersed in the Tucson site still. So what I'm going to go over today, a little bit of background just on what's the city of Tucson, my purpose for the capstone, what I found, and the recommendations is a very interview-heavy capstone. So for the background, the city of Tucson owns, maintains, stewards many historic and aging buildings. The buildings are determined, the building department is determined by what that building's purpose is or what the land's purpose is and that alignment. So, for instance, parks oversees all of the structures that are in the park system, and housing department oversees all of the low-income housing that is owned by the city. While there's currently no comprehensive strategy for the ongoing stewardship of city-owned historic properties, individual preservation plans do exist on some specific buildings. There is an under-evaluation of city-owned properties for national or local designation, and this is really as a result of the identification and evaluation being done on a piecemeal basis that's relying on grant funding and the work of volunteers, or if there's some kind of emergency capital projects that's needed, then we do evaluation. I say we, I don't work for the city. The purpose of this capstone is the analysis of the current management system used by the city of Tucson and then research on potential models for site management with recommendations for next steps to better support the stewardship and preservation of city-owned properties and cultural resources. So I conducted all of these city of Tucson department interviews. These were done over the course of 4 months. I really prioritized doing interviews with departments who either control large amounts of city-owned or stewarded properties or have some say in how those are managed. So these are the really big departments that are continually making improvements to those. In the city manager's office, I interviewed Kelly Way. Kelly was in city manager's office at the time when the interview was conducted, though I know she's now under the Office for Community and Economic Impact, which is like a very recent change. I also interviewed Andrew Perez and Neto Portillo with Housing and Community Development, Jasmine Chan with Parks and Recreation, and Daniel Bursick, Jonathan Knighton-Windsor, and Jonathan Mayberry with Planning and Developmental Services. Dan's interview occurred about 2 weeks before he left the department, and Jonathan I interviewed as someone who used to be the Historic Preservation Officer, so even though he's not in the department now, it was reflecting on when he did leave the department. And then in real estate, I interviewed Tiana Clark. So the current conditions, just overall for the city of Tucson, the Administrative Directive 1.07-7, Protection of Archaeological and Historical Resources in City Projects, is really important because it is a city manager protocol created in 1999, but mainly it established how the city-owned historic resources would be managed internally and establish the historic preservation officer position. So when we're really talking about where does the power of this office come from, it initially comes from this like city manager protocol created in 1999. But really importantly, the directive does not contain guidance for the maintenance or tracking of properties, and it does not require other departments to interface with the historic preservation office or HPO for the creation of these maintenance plans.
There are currently modifications being made to this administrative directive that are in progress. The commission is involved in those, so this is not set in stone, but this is what we have right now. That'll be changing in the future, hopefully. Really importantly, in the last 2 years, the city has passed some goals. So Plan Tucson was passed in 2025, and that had goals in it for heritage conservation, surveying, and tracking historic and cultural properties and their preservation and maintenance. This was the first time the general plan for the city of Tucson has had a whole historic preservation section, so it really signified both how Tucson and how the voters are feeling about the importance of historic preservation. And then the year prior, the city published Somos Uno, which is really focused on arts and culture, but it did take into account historic preservation as well, and it identified the economic benefits for culture and heritage within Tucson, which it did explicitly call out the importance of historic sites and the preservation and maintenance of those sites. It had goals to strengthen preservation, and that strengthening is really through advocacy for increased funding. So here's a breakdown of the four main categories that I also provided my recommendations in, which is funding, maintenance, management, and property tracking. So overall, just throughout my assessments, the HPO has limited funding, and that funding currently comes from the city's general fund. This is really common that historic preservation offices have funding coming from their general fund. There's funding for building improvements that comes from the managing department's budget. So parks is responsible for how parks things are maintained, and housing is responsible for how housing things are maintained. But centralized, in a centralized way, there's no dedicated funding to maintain the city's historic property. So it's really up to that individual department to decide if that's what they're prioritizing or not right now. For maintenance, it's the responsibility of the individual departments to manage their properties. They decide what their maintenance plans look like and how those are implemented. They don't require the input of the Historic Preservation Office. But there are some departments who have been really proactive in getting that outreach from the Historic Preservation Office, and parks and real estate are really those two ones, both on management plans, but also that, like, the current projects that are ongoing, they've reached out ahead of any projects occurring, which is great. For management, just across the board, there's limited staff capacity of all departments. The Historic Preservation Office is included in that. There's just not enough staff to do what needs to be done. The management of city-owned properties is decided by each department, but property use agreements do go through real estate. So there is kind of some forced overlap between departments there, kind of with the exception of parks. So if housing wants to lease one of their properties to someone else, all of that, those lease agreements have to go through the real estate department. And the real estate has been proactive in talking to Desiree about things, so that's fantastic. The city's recently established a cultural affairs officer, so that's Kelly Way, who used to be in the city manager but recently moved into her new department. She really exists to better coordinate the management of city-owned cultural heritage resources, which also includes assets from the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona. The Tucson and Southern Arizona was really managing arts assets, not necessarily buildings, but Kelly's really trying to connect those two together. For property tracking, the city uses Map Tucson to track historic properties. It began digitization in 2020, and that is still in progress. The digitization is really occurring within the Planning and Developmental Services Department, PDSD. And at the same time, real estate has been working on creating a centralized list of city-owned and managed properties, and that list will have building age as a category. So currently, because all departments are just in charge of their own properties, they each have their own lists of what they own, but there's not a centralized list. So real estate will hopefully have that centralized list done by the end of this year or early next year, and it will at least be good for coordinating between departments and seeing what the general ages of the buildings in the city of Tucson. And the cultural affairs officer is spearheading an internal tracking system for city-owned cultural assets. The current list is managed by the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, and Kelly's really working to make sure that list is integrated into this other real estate list that is being created. For case studies, These were all of the different cases that I looked at specifically. It wasn't just limited to cities. You'll notice that the University of Arizona is on here and the Tempe History Museum, which Tempe History Museum is a subset of the city of Tucson. But really the goal was to look at look at the size of these areas and what they're managing, the types of programming they're offering, the funding amounts, and their approaches to reservation. So within Pima County, they have a really fantastic, extensive digitized record system, which contains 30 years of records on site tasks, descriptive information, general notes, and compliance levels. Their system is, like, they contracted out to have their system made for them. So it's a combination of GIS, which is the mapping system, and regional database management system. It took a really long time to do, but as a result of, like, you see the success of having everything digitized, they were able to reduce the cost burden on departments for compliance by 75%. So instead of having to request surveys be continually done on the same site, they could look back, easily do that historic research, and realize that a survey had already been done, and if another one needed to be done or if the project could just start construction. Really importantly, that number does not include staff time for EM staff. So it just includes, like, the base number of what they would have paid for surveys or other work. It doesn't include the time, the monetary amount tied to time saved from staff not having to go through physical files. For the Tempe History Museum, they're a city-funded museum that oversees 7 buildings. They do their own programming in 3 of those buildings, and this is kind of a unique outsource approach. So they do work closely with the Historic Preservation Office just in terms of their maintenance plans and also, like, the maintenance management general services for the city, but they're responsible for the execution of that maintenance plan. And so they have really strong ties throughout the entire government. Their maintenance fund, which was created in order to help continue the maintenance on these really expensive historic buildings, has helped to prevent the museum from needing to ask council for emergency repair funding mid-year. So they know at the start of the year how much money they have to last for their maintenance for all of their buildings. And their whole museum chain is funded through the Arts and Culture Tax Base Fund, and that's really insulated them from some of the statewide income cuts. So instead of being funded out of the general fund like most others are, they're on that tax base fund, and so they haven't had to cut any staff while the rest of the city of Tempe has had to look at cutting staff. Next is the city of Phoenix. They've been really successful in advocating for increased funding for historic preservation programs, really particularly since COVID, so at a time when it's been really hard to get grants and increase funding. So the city has grant programs for historic properties, for commercial and residential properties. They initially had this grant funding, like, way back in the early 2000s, but it was discontinued in 2006. In 2019-2020, they advocated for and got the city to allocate $200,000 from the general fund to bring those grant programs back. And then the Historic Preservation Commission was really crucial in advocating for that to be raised from $200,000 to $500,000. So it really helped to build out their grant program. And so those grants are for, like, facade or interior building renovations for commercial buildings or for residential exterior. And so now currently they have $200,000 for residential exterior grants and $500,000 for front and building grants. And they also have been really active in advocating for part of the bond funding that is being passed and has restarted in the city of Phoenix. So in 2023, they are part of a voter-approved bond initiative for $5 million over 5 years, which is also contributing to those grant funds. And they're continuing their advocacy to continue expanding these programs because the next round of bond funding is going to go into effect in 2028. So they're trying to make sure they have a slice of that as well. In San Antonio, their preservation department is largely seen as, like, the gold standard across the U.S. Every time we talk about preservation departments, we talk about San Antonio. Part of that is they have a huge staff. So they're their own department, and because they're their own department, they get a lot of movement and ability to do these really cool programs. Fully staffed, they have a staff of 25, which is amazing. But that also means that they've now been able to extend into education programs to support preservation. So they have the Living Heritage Street Academy, Preservation Academy, Realtor Certification, Rehabber Club, and all of those things contribute to just like the community knowing what preservation is and how to preserve their own houses in the correct way, but also it creates an external support network that reinforces the need to keep this department. For the University of Arizona, I talked to Jessica Bassey. We don't often talk about the University of Arizona's preservation program, but I was really amazed by what they're doing there because they have over 100 historic properties that they're managing all at the same time, and they have a really fantastic partnership between Jessica, who is like overseeing the management of these and what projects are being done on them every year, and the maintenance, who's like actually going out there and maintaining these buildings. So there's and there's also strong upper admin support. So the VP of Facilities Management at the U of A actually conducts an evaluation of historic buildings annually, which is crazy. I don't expect the city of Tucson to do that, but it's really allowed for the updating of their maintenance plans and an understanding of the scope of work required for each building. And then all that information is in turn integrated into their priority list. So each year, there's a master list that's updated on January 1st. So any building turning from 49 to 50 now gets moved into like the historic part of this list. But also within that, it's evaluated in the priority list. And so from that, they have a list of all the projects that need to be done on these historic buildings. And then just go and advocate to upper admin to say, what are you able to fund and like what projects can we do this year? And it makes sure that the buildings who are most in need are getting that support, like regardless of what the cost is to support that. And so they're able to fund repairs in the six figures each year and make sure that they're staying on top of that maintenance. Tempe has also taken a similar approach to that with their maintenance funds. They don't just check the whole thing off the list, but like for instance, one of their buildings needed new stucco on all four sides, and they just did one side per year because that's what they had the money for. It's a very interesting approach. So what are the common themes throughout all of these? They all have, all of these places or entities have dedicated yearly funding for preservation activities. And so like not just for staff, but also to be able to go out and make sure that the maintenance is being done and that large projects for like stucco repair are being completed. They all have administrative policies which empower the HPO staff. And so, like, not from just a checkpoint perspective, but like the HPO is able to step in if they need to step in. But their strong interdepartmental relations have really allowed them to prevent a lot of those, like, forced moves because the departments are coming to them because they know that it's important. They see the value, and they know that really the HPO staff is there to help support them and not to just get in their way. There's also strong system support for management and maintenance just across the board. All of these places have really strong connections with their general services department to make sure that the management is being done in alignment with those plans that are approved by whoever the historic preservation officer is. And then there's strong support from the upper administration, as you see like in Phoenix with their general fund and in Tempe where they were moved from the general fund into the arts fund. And they're all adequately staffed for the types of activities being conducted. The University of Arizona only has Jessica. She's doing a lot. But they're not doing as many programs. They don't have as many staff. When you start to see the build-out of staff, like in San Antonio, you can get those really involved programs that aren't just focused on enforcement, but are focused on training and on increasing public knowledge and awareness of historic preservation. And then the partnership between staff and historic commissions to advocate for the expansion of existing activities is extremely important. As staff members are limited in what they're able to say or what they're able to advocate for, to have an outside force that's constantly advocating for change in these departments, like on behalf of these departments, has been really crucial for their success. So here are my recommendations. In bold are the top recommendations for each category. Top recommendations were based on what can reasonably be accomplished given the current staff, volunteer, and financial capacity. As we all know, we always would love to have more funding, but really to be realistic is like what could we get started on within 2026, even as we're waiting for things like more funding. So first and foremost, in the funding category, having the commission advocate for increased funding in the general budget in alignment with city goals. Because we now have Somos Uno and Plan Tucson, it's really just another thing to uphold to say, hi, city, like, you agree this is important, like, prove it by putting money into it. And so as a commission, being able to rally behind that and working with staff to advocate for that increased funding for the department as a whole, really prioritizing adding additional historic preservation staff, property tracking, historic resource surveys, and then maintenance and capital needs for city-owned buildings. Adding historic preservation as a recipient of the bed tax collected by the city. This is kind of similar to the Tempe approach. Currently, the city does have a bed tax. The majority of that bed tax is going to Visit Tucson. Even just changing it so like 1% of that bed tax goes to historic preservation means that there's additional funds that were already coming in that are now being reallocated to historic preservation. And then to continue partnerships to leverage funding for multiple goals. This is really strong, particularly with housing, which has already done outreach and already has weekly meetings with the historic preservation staff, is that when you have things like Tucson House, not only are you promoting preservation, you're also aligning with housing goals in a way that is using like federal funds to accomplish that historic preservation. So continuing to grow those partnerships is really important. For maintenance, the creation of a priority list for buildings based both on need and historic significance. This is something that I think will be easier to achieve once real estate has their whole list finalized, because it will list all of the buildings across all of the departments and make it much easier to have a priority list, which helps one for future advocacy towards getting money to rehab these buildings and maintain these buildings, but also of understanding what buildings need the most help right now, since it's a little bit harder to track under the current decentralized system. And modify the existing directive to ensure maintenance plans are created in partnership with the HPO. This refers to a modification to that administrative directive. As I mentioned earlier, that is in progress. The commission is involved with that already. That is something that will happen in time. But just to continue on that track, additional funding for the Historic Preservation Office staff to support the development of maintenance plans for city-owned historic buildings. Staff does so much already with what they have. They either need an additional staff person if we're asking them to develop maintenance plans or help with the maintenance plans, or they need additional funding to make sure that that gets done. That's just in asking to expand the department, they need more staff. For management, launching a phased historic resource survey of city-owned properties. The current state, the city is kind of doing it on a piecemeal basis to be able to plan ahead where resource surveys are going to occur each year, even if it means that it takes 10 years to get all of the city surveyed. At least having that data is beneficial, because right now there are some neighborhoods where we haven't had any historic resource surveys done, or like some city properties that haven't had any resource surveying done. And that would tie in really nice with the priority list for understanding where our current assets are at. Annual budget allocation and increased staffing for historic resource surveys and prioritizing surveys of city-owned resources, and then to continue strengthening those interdepartmental relationships, coordination, and communication. That includes things like training, which the Historic Preservation Office is already doing, internal training of city-owned city departments. Property tracking, digitize remaining archaeological files, and creating GIS shapes for older maps. This helps Johnny do his job. It helps the historian and Desiree do their jobs as well. It really means that everything is in one place and makes it easier to sort through and saves the staff time that they can be using to do other things, like focusing on grant writing or helping other people navigate through the review process. And an enhanced database where historic preservation files are held and easily accessible by the Historic Preservation Office. This ties in with the digitization. Just to have them in the system helps, because you're not having to sort through those filing folders, but having a database that's easily sortable, similar to Pima County's database, means that you're saving that time. And it's easily understandable, not just for the current Historic Preservation Officer staff, but like what's getting inputted now for future staff. And then consolidation of city-owned arts and cultural assets into the tracking list, which is in progress. Kelly's working on that, but really just to underscore the importance of preservation is those buildings. I focus mainly on those buildings, but the city also owns a lot of art, and those are cultural assets. And so we should be taking into those into account while we're making our decisions. And then that is the end of my recommendations. If anyone has any questions or comments, I would be happy to hear them.
Well, let me start. We'll start taking questions, and I'll call on you. We have a few minutes for questions. But I just wanted to thank you for this presentation. Ricky, it was really great. And I assume that you did share the list that we – remember when we did the task force on recommendations for naming of city and county-owned historic properties? Because there was a list that was started years ago when Jennifer Levstick worked for the city. And did you use that list at all to share, I mean, as a starting list for city-owned properties?
I did look at that list. It was just, which it helped. It helped to understand how that list was formed. And that kind of informed the questions that I was asking to real estate in terms of how they were creating their combined list of everybody's things.
Well, good. And I wonder if you could share this presentation with the commission. Would you be willing?
Yes, I definitely will send it.
Yeah, and if you want to send to me, or if you have Carla's address, then she can distribute to the whole commission. That would be really helpful. But I know you have my email, so. And you probably have Carla's, too, in the communication about funding that thing for Los Dez.
Yes.
So that's great. So, okay, well, let's see. I think Ken had a question. Let's see who was first with the questions. Ken and then Helen, and we can maybe take one more after that. Ken, do you want to start?
Sure. Ricky, really very, very informative and a great overall perspective on this. I'm just wondering, do you have a sense about other departments within the city and how much knowledge or understanding they have about historic preservation, and also there's so many city-owned historic buildings?
Yes. So other departments, it's kind of twofold. So Desiree's really been prioritizing doing trainings with other departments. And so I think that is really starting to pay off in terms of, like particularly, I'm going to go back just so I can name people's names. Particularly with Parks and Rec and Jasmine, and then Housing and Community Development with Andrew, is that they understand what the Historic Preservation Office is there to do. And they're the ones in their department, and also Tiana Clark, who like see projects happening and go, wait, you need to talk to the Historic Preservation Office, which is so important. Right now it's primarily driven by people. Like if Jasmine were to leave, then like you kind of lose that advocate in the department. So it's making sure that training is continual and that there are some reinforcements to make sure that departments kind of have to go to the Historic Preservation Office for maintenance plans. Because like Jasmine and Tiana won't be there forever, and it's really great that we have them now. But there needs to be something in place for the future.
The reason I brought that question up was, and this is what I was trying to figure, 25 or 30 years ago, the city used to have a program called Foundation for Leadership. And they identified people that wanted to move up within the city structure. And they spent a week learning about different departments, different functions. And I used to do a day, and along with, I think, Homer and some other people, on historic preservation. And this was a really good program of informing other departments and people moving up and sort of enculturating the historic preservation and the number of buildings that are owned by the city. So they could maybe sort of institute something along those along that way. Again, it just, whether it was in force for probably 10 years, and like so many things, just faded out. But it was a good way to build awareness, especially with turnover and people changing, moving up in departments. But some kind of ongoing once a year kind of training thing for people moving up in the city.
Oh, great. Thank you. Helen, you were second?
Yes. Just very briefly. First of all, great job there, Ricky. What I would like to encourage you to do is post this with the other report that we did recently on the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation website, because they are giving us a place to collect city documents, and hopefully this eventually will become a city undertaking rather than a private one. But Kathy Kubisch has been working on that, and perhaps if Ricky gives permission, Kathy could arrange that. Make sure that we don't lose this report, but we keep it.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Ken, did you have something else?
Oh, I haven't put the hand down. A moment of levity right now. This is a picture when the Tucson House opened. It was an upscale housing development, high rise and all of this. And if you look in the foreground, a car that's closest to you is a Porsche. And I can guarantee you there are no Porsches in front of the Tucson House today. So it's just an element of how things change. And high rises never really made it in Tucson. So high rise residential never was accepted in Tucson. Just a thought.
Great. Well, this was wonderful, Ricky. And, if this is any indication, which it is, of your interest in the city and when you get your degree and come back, when do you graduate?
I graduate next May.
Yay. So we hope you can continue to be involved with all sorts of city things and county things. So that would be great. So anyone else for a last question before we move on? So my last one is you're completely done with your internship then, or at the end of the semester, or are you going to have to turn this in at some point?
Yeah, I will have to turn in stuff at some point. The feedback from this, and I'll be doing like another presentation to City of Tucson staff will be taken to make sure that all of those final recommendations and feedbacks are integrated into the final document. And then I'll have my document done, fingers crossed, by July 31st. So that'll be in addition to this presentation, the final document will be turned over to Desiree and to my council and advisors.
Well, great. And commissioners, if you have any comments or questions that you want me to share with Ricky, please do send them to me. You all know how to reach me. So anyway, thank you so much, Desiree, for setting up this presentation, and Ricky for doing such a great job on it. So. Thanks again.
Thank you to Ricky. She did a fantastic job.
Yes, agreed. Okay, so we'll move on quickly through the rest of the agenda here. Item 10 is monitoring and preserving historic buildings and landscapes owned by the City of Tucson. So that's it's right in here. So, Ken, do you have any quick things you want to say here?
No, and, I could be my broken record. The Atkins Building is still in Neverland, Neverland. I guess something for Desiree. Hopefully we get rescheduled pretty soon for the Magnetic Observatory tour. We did about a month ago, and Parks didn't have the keys to get inside. So, and now it's gotten a little
break. Yeah, we'll make sure that happens. We've been a little understaffed right now. So, sorry, it's taken a little longer than planned, but we'll make sure it happens.
That's important, needless to say. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Okay, item 11 is update on archaeological site damage at the border. Does anyone have anything they would like to? Oh, Carlos, did you have a question for Carlos or a comment? I mean, for Ken?
No, I was on the border wall. I guess the county people are gone, but I know I was talking to Commissioner Lamb, and we were just concerned about Quito Paquito Springs. I mean, does anyone present, maybe Johnny, know anything about potential impacts to that resource?
I don't know. And I just, I think like it's something where it is all about jurisdiction. And that's like, it is, I think, located, it's still in Pima County, but it's located on National Park Service land. And there's also the issue of the quote-unquote Roosevelt Reservation that extends, I think is it 60 feet or 100 feet from the border that is administered by Department of Homeland Security. And so I think, I don't have anything.
I think you really need to reach out to Oregon Pipe staff as well as like Samuel at the Tohono O'odham Nation. They're working together. So they would have the most recent information. what's going on right now is outside of the Roosevelt Reservation. That doesn't matter anymore because so much has been waived.
Okay.
So maybe what we could do is ask Samuel if he'd be willing to make a presentation for us. I don't know. Some of you know Samuel, some of you don't. But Charlotte, do you think that's something he might do? I know him pretty well. So, or we could, yeah. I could get with you guys. I mean, at the county and see if maybe you guys could help us with that. Cause I think it would be nice to know. Yeah. Okay. Anything else on that, on item 11? I'm not seeing anyone. Okay. Item 12 is Commissioner Summary of Current Events. Does anyone have a current event to share? Please raise your hand so I know, because we have quite a few people on today. I just want to be sure I see everyone that might have something to share. Okay, JJ?
Oh, I'm just really happy to share that Gerald Lamb just received a grant. It's an arts grant. And so Vail Preservation Society will be creating a Highway 80, a little mini documentary of Highway 80 across Pima County.
Oh, that'll be wonderful. And you'll let us know more about that as it progresses? Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect.
Yeah. Thank you.
Because most of you are, I'm sure, familiar with Gerald and JJ's work on Voices of Vail and many other wonderful things. Oh, Mauro, do you have something?
I do. Yeah, just wanted to mention that the Presidio normally closed all summer, beginning in July through August 20th. We will be open this season, beginning this Friday from 7 to 9 p.m., just for p.m. visitors, and I will be manning that. So we will have one day where we're open during the summer.
Oh, great. And I'm sure that's listed on the Presidio website if people want to find out about upcoming events, yes?
Yeah, of course. And we'll be also be doing stuff in conjunction with the Brandy Lion. That's the food and beverage outlet that's next to us.
Nice. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Anyone else for an announcement? Okay, item 13 is called to the audience. Tracy, did we have any public comments received by the deadline?
No, we did not.
None received. Okay, thank you. Does item 14 is thoughts on inclusivity. Does anyone have any thoughts? Okay, I'll say none. Okay, so item 15 is schedule and future agenda items. Please let me know if you have an item that you would like to include by no later than July 30th, because our next meeting is August 12th. And I just want to mention that I do reach out to all of to the city, the county, and also to DTM before I put the agenda together to, you know, see if they have anything outside of their regular report so that we can agendize it. Also, Desiree, I just want to commend Desiree for contacting me early about Ricky's presentation because I didn't want us, it was good to have it today where I kept the agenda, like, so she had enough time to go over her wonderful presentation. So please be in touch with me by the 30th if you have anything for next month. And so I will just say that we are adjourned at 1:35. Thank you, everyone. And Tracy, if you could just stay on for a second, I just want to ask you a question. And thank you, everyone, and have a great rest of the week and month and summer. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
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 Bye. So, Tracy, you were all by yourself today, and you and Annie, right, were here?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. I just have a question. So we're going to go with our usual thing. You'll get me the agenda and then, I mean, the LAR, and then I'll look at it and get back to you by Monday morning at the latest?
Correct, yes.
Okay, we'll do that because I'm actually trying to take some days off tomorrow and Friday, but knowing my colleagues at work, they'll be... If there's an emergency, please call me.
One thing I did want to ask you, I didn't want to bring it up in the meeting, was if if you know that we received our funding for the next fiscal year, and or you can check on that and let me know.
Yes, I can check on it and let you know. I know that Carla was in the process of getting a lot of the invoices processed, and everything is kind of still in that processing stage at the moment, but I can follow up with her and see where we're at with funding. Urgent,
but just to know, a quick email, yes, we have our funding. I know I was concerned about that the county hadn't received their invoice for their contribution to last fiscal year's funding. And so I know when I last, you know, I was following up almost every day with, you know, Ian was very upset because he couldn't, like, no one would respond to him. And it wasn't it wasn't the historic, you guys that support us, but it was the, you know, it was finance and they were really busy. And so, but Carla said there was kind of a grace period. So hopefully the county will get invoiced so that the city can get that money. And so, and we need to get that on our tickler calendar to do that earlier each year. And, you know, there was a lot because when Carla took over as our person before she got promoted to her current position, it was really tough to get like the whole thing understood about the budget. I mean, she was great about, we asked questions, we met with people. So we need to get a better understanding within your, you know, your colleagues of what this is and, you know, how we do it, but everyone was great about helping and I appreciate that. I know that some people have received their checks clearly or they're, you know, Ricky got hers for Los Descendientes and then I know that the lady at the National Alliance of Preservation Commissions got hers. So I think we're good. I just hope that, you know, that funds weren't swept for commissions and stuff like that. So, you know, cause I know that the way that the county programs that it's out of their own funds in their program. So it's never a question, but, it would be tough if we only had their funds or if they would even give them to us if they weren't matched. You know? So, but anyway, I hope you're doing well and, thanks for this. And if you have any questions, let me know. This was pretty good though. We only had the one motion, right? Instead of our million motions like last time.
I know. It was a quick meeting for sure. Okay.
It was in terms of motions, but I wanted to be sure that Ricky had enough time to present. And, hopefully Ricky will get us her presentation. You can distribute it. So.
Okay. But, and then, if you want to go ahead and send an email to myself and Carla, and you can include Anna and Annie as well. But just as long as it's to me and Carla, regarding the funding question that you had asked, just so it doesn't get lost. And because I do have a few other projects I'm working on.
Oh, but, I know you are. Yeah.
But I can, go ahead and follow up with that. And that way we have that, no questions go unanswered.
Right. And I will, if I don't do it before, I might do it over the weekend when I'm doing, cause you'll probably get me the LAR by Friday.
Yeah, probably by Friday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I will get that to you, but I am going to really try to take tomorrow and Friday off because I have a friend visiting and I have to take my husband to the airport far away and we're going to do something fun, which is crazy.
But I'm actually to enjoy your time off.
yeah. So anyway, well, thanks so much for everything. And,
yeah, of course.
And, you know, I was just going to suggest you might want to maybe create a new link because I have trouble getting on too. I had to go several times to your printed agenda, you know, to the PDF.
Right.
And it's just, I don't get it, you know, I use Teams every day for my work. So I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with it, but I've noticed it the past couple of meetings where I've had to, it does pop up in my calendar. And so I automatically click that link, but then I'm sitting in a waiting room, you know, wondering where everyone is. And then I realize I have to go back out and go to the agenda packet email that I had emailed to all the commissioners and log in that way.
Yeah, because sometimes I've been on meetings where I click on the link, not just this one, but it's like when they're external and it's sometimes there's no one there. And then I have to go in some other way. And I think it's the same link. So maybe you could ask your IT people if you want to do a test with me, you know, like we can do that too, or with a couple people.
That sounds good. Because I know we were having some troubles with other BCC links as well. So I think it's probably just maybe it's an expired link or something's going on. But I can get with our IT person here and see if we can possibly set up a new link and kind of test that out.
Yeah, and I think they've done that in the past. Like, how often do we need to get so the link doesn't get stale and it holds through all of, you know, and in the past, I think we used to get an invitation. Like, I always put it on my calendar, but I don't always paste the link in from your other message. You know what I'm saying? So it might be good. I don't know if you can invite us through Outlook, if you have Outlook.
Yes.
Because that would be, we could do a test maybe with just me. Like, we could do a test, you know, if you want to do that, or with a couple people, because I'm always grateful because Plans Review is on Zoom and I have my own Zoom account and it still gives me heck. So it's frustrating because we depend so much on these meetings, right? So anyway, you take care and have a good week.
Okay. Alrighty. You
Thanks.
Too.
Bye, Annie.
Bye. Thank you, Terry.
Sure. Bye now. Bye.
Bye.
I meant to stop the recording.